Hello, welcome to My Camino, the podcast. I'm Dan Mullins, and it's great to have your company. This week, my guests and I met at a little cafe in the heart of Sydney, not far from St. James Station. There's shells on the station facade. And this is a podcast about El Camino de Santiago, a series of pilgrimages across Europe. They're not just long walks or adventures, but pilgrimage. Pilgrims walk with a sense of intention. Perhaps you're seeking to overcome a significant event in your life. Perhaps you're looking for something, hoping for something. Maybe it's the dreaded midlife crisis. I see it more as a midlife opportunity. Some pilgrims find themselves, others lose themselves. Some pilgrims find themselves a place to live in Spain. Indeed, if I may, my friend Susie Stevenson and her partner Fermin run an albergue in Trabadello just outside Villafranca del Bierzo as you walk along the river up to O Sobrero. It's called Casa Susie. It's a magical place and it's run by magical people. They haven't been able to open this year and it's meant they've had to live off virtually nothing. Well, they now realise the ageing Casa needs a lot of work. There's an appeal being run to try to raise money for them. And I've stayed at Casa Susie and as I say, it's magic. Just a wonderful, wonderful place. And pilgrims need it. If Susie and Fermin can't raise the money to fix the roof, they could be left to simply walk away. I think the Camino will sadly miss a great couple who really deeply care about pilgrims and the Camino. So if you're interested in helping, just type Casa Susie into Facebook and it will come up. C-A-S-A-S-U-S-I, Casa Susie. Susie and Fermin have a simple philosophy. We want to help you live the life you dreamed, and this is the first step. Susie and Fermin are friends of mine. They say the friendships you form on the Camino stay with you for life. I've certainly found that to be true. So I want to help Susie and Fermin. So I'm going to do a gig on Facebook Live this weekend. It'll be Sydney time, 9:30 a.m, Sunday the 22nd of November. So that's 9:30 a.m. this Sunday in Sydney. I think that makes it 11:30 p.m. Saturday in Trabadello and the rest of Spain. They'll just be getting ready to go out at 11:30 at night. It's 2:30 p.m. Saturday in Los Angeles, 5:30 Saturday in Washington, and 3:30 p.m. Saturday in Denver, of all places. I don't know why my computer told me Denver, but there you are. Saturday afternoon in the United States, Saturday night in Europe and the UK, and Sunday morning in Australia. I'll have the means to donate to Susie and Fermin as part of the concert. Friendships, eh? There's an old proverb, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. I love that. Well, my guests this week are Rowan and Margaret Boutel. When I was organising this catch-up with Margaret a few days ago, she messaged me to say, I love these impromptu Camino meetups, and so do I. It's so true. We met in a little bookshop cafe in the heart of Sydney. It was a busy morning, so forgive the background noise if you would. And there's also a couple of pops and hisses in the audio as well, but we get through all of that. It's a lovely story. And I began by asking Margaret and Rowan, as I had met them as part of their Oz Camino Festival in 2017, and I asked Margaret to tell us about their Camino or Caminos.
Well, it started in 2013 when Ron and I took a break from Sydney and we travelled over to Spain and cycled the Camino Frances. We have a history of being cycle tourists, and so we actually started with all our tents and bags and cooking equipment. And after a week, we realised this wasn't a cycle tour, this was a pilgrimage. And we sent all those extra camping items over to friends in England. And we started experiencing France's way as pilgrims. And it really opened our eyes to what a special experience that was.
Rowan, to you, do you remember where you first heard about the Camino?
Vaguely in the past, some friends of ours, or a friend of ours that lived in America, did it as a sort of organized tour, but like decades ago. And then we heard nothing about it, and we were just looking for a long-distance cycle route across Europe, somewhere that wasn't English-speaking. And then there was this Camino that seemed to be about 1,000 Ks and just what we needed, but we didn't really put two and two together that it was a pilgrimage. However, we did order a guidebook, John Bradley guidebook, and we took it with us, but we hadn't even opened and read it. And when we arrived at the start, the first thing we did in Saint Jean Pied de Port was stay for about 2 or 3 nights, and had the one English movie on in the town, which was The Way. That's when we really found out what it was about. But we were still cycle tourists, and so it evolved after a week or so, as Margaret says.
What a wonderful dawning, though, for that to sort of to appear in your lives. All of a sudden you think, ah, the penny's dropped. Where were you when the penny dropped you? Do you remember?
I think it was in Burgos that we were staying in a campground there, and we saw the pilgrims walk past along the river, and we felt like we really wanted to be part of that, and we realized that we were missing out on something quite special, so we wanted that albergue experience. And that actually was a huge turning point, because it was the albergues that we stayed in that inspired us to come to Glenella and create a similar environment in Australia.
So let's go to Glenella, the Glenella Guest House at Blackheath in the Blue Mountains. It's about 2 hours from Sydney. Margaret, tell us that story. How did Glenella come into your lives?
when cycling the St. Francis route in 2013, staying in the albergues was for me a very unique experience. It was a place where you weren't judged, where it didn't matter what language you were, what culture you came from, everybody was accepted, and it felt like a really safe place, a place with like-minded people that you could share things you wouldn't share with your family necessarily or friends. And after traveling like that for 3-4 weeks, I felt our world was missing more places like that, and I wanted to recreate a space where people could come in after a day of physical walking or cycling and meet other like-minded people at a much deeper level.
Maybe we can hear from your accents that you're South African. How does a South African couple end up rowing in the Blue Mountains, running what's assessed in many ways a pilgrim's albergue?
I think, you know, people say your Camino starts after you leave Santiago.
Yeah.
So for us, it was never a grand plan that we would sort of end up in the Blue Mountains, be doing Camino-related things. It just sort of led us in a direction from when we finished in Santiago. And so we decided we would come back to the Blue Mountains, start to pursue this idea that Margaret picked up about creating this sort of sociable, very supportive accommodation environment for what we targeted would be sort of more outdoor interested pursuits like bushwalking and cycling and that. And we found this old guest house, which initially didn't seem like it was suitable, but actually we've transformed it over the past 6 years into something that's proving very suitable. And it's not just, I guess, by accident. It's taken a lot of massaging and listening to feedback from our guests and of late, more and more Camino people, and we've really created a great sort of environment.
What I first met you at the Oz Camino Festival that you hosted, I think, in 2017, and indeed we were talking just before, and I think I'd only just launched the podcast, and here we are 500,000 downloads later, which is quite extraordinary in itself, but such is the interest and the love of the Camino amongst the Camino community. What prompted you to host that first gathering, though? Margaret, I'll ask you.
I think I need Rowan to answer that one. It's something to do with a billboard that he saw, and he got the idea. So I'll pass this one over to Rowan.
So I'd always had in my mind Oz Camino. I originally thought it would be like a long-distance walking route in Australia to mimic the Camino. But that never happened. And then I was driving to Parkes, to Bathurst, and I saw the sign for the Parkes Elvis Festival. And I just recently watched an ABC documentary about how that started, just from like small things, people throwing ideas around in the pub. And I suddenly thought, you know, what we can do is start a festival focused on Camino, because there's such passion for it. And so that's exactly what we did. And it just grew out into this program of events. The tagline at the time was celebrating all things Camino. And it was really, people jumped on board and it really worked really well. The passion, it's there, you know, it's palpable. It's just an amazing phenomenon. So anyway, it started from just an idea, seeing a billboard advertising the Parkes Music Festival.
So here we are, mid-2020, and the whole world's gone crazy. How has the business and how have you guys coped with COVID-19?
The impact it had was obviously we had to shut for a couple of months. And once the government's announced support for small businesses, we realized it was an opportunity to actually take some time out. We were into our fifth year of running Glenella, and it had taken its toll in terms of the physical nature and the demanding nature of running a guest house. So we actually were very fortunate that we could spend some time pursuing our interests of the outdoors, cycling and running and walking and planning Camino events. So we've actually been really fortunate in this regard, and we decided to focus on the things that we could do rather than the things that we couldn't do.
That's a really good philosophy. I like that. I like that a lot. And Rowan, you and Margaret regularly host events for pilgrims, and there's this five-day sort of refresher or training course. Tell us about what you offer.
Okay, this is something that we've been doing now for 4 years. We wanted to do something that mimicked the Camino walking in Spain as a sort of a training opportunity for locals before they travel to Spain. And so we decided to start at the base of the Blue Mountains and walk over 5 days up to the top of the Blue Mountains, where we would ordinarily have our Blue Mountains Camino supporters events on a Saturday. And so we've been doing that, like I say, 4 years now, walking about 15 to 25 k's per day and sometimes overnighting on the way or traveling backwards and forwards by train. And so ultimately it was a training route, but the reality is actually recapturing that Camino spirit or introducing people to that. And it works really well when you put a bunch of Camino people together. There's just this buzz, you know, and it works amazingly well.
So it's a five-day course. Is it, I mean, I know you talk about training. We've had a look here at the pack. There's even a credential and sort of a question and answer, frequently asked questions and all sorts of sort of maps and stuff. But it's a lot more than just training, isn't it, Margaret? Because you need to prepare yourself if you're going to go on the Camino or you want to refresh a Camino. It's about as much about the spirit as it is about the body.
Definitely about the spirit as well. And although the emphasis has been on training to get you physically used to walking days in a row, we've also added a reflections into the pack to give people a sense of quiet reflection. And we had a really special experience on day 3 in our September 5-day walk, where Juliet from the Newcastle group actually sat us down in the forest, and we spent about 5 minutes going through a guided meditation in the forest, and it was a most beautiful experience. What we really want to do is tap into the spirit of the Camino within our own home space. And something John Briley mentioned last October when he spent the weekend with us and spoke to many, many Sydney, Central Coast and mountains pilgrims. The Camino is your local journey. You don't have to always wait to go to Spain to do your Camino. And I think this year is particularly because so many walkers couldn't go over to Spain. They relished the opportunity to do 5 days in the Blue Mountains with other pilgrims. And it's amazing how that Camino spirit spreads once it starts. And the Blue Mountains Camino supporters group just feel like we enablers. We bring the people together and then we just let it happen.
I love that. Bring them together and let it happen. So how far are we walking if we're going from Penrith to Blackheath?
So On the map, it says 88 kilometers according to our route, but generally you walk a little bit more than that. So call it about 100 Ks all up over the week. So, yeah.
I mentioned earlier Susie and Fermin. I know they were there up at Glenella earlier this year. And it's they were delighted at how many people turned out to come and meet them. That was a magic weekend, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. And they've left a legacy at Glenella and with our pilgrim groups. And almost every weekend when we get, every month when we get together again, somebody mentions Susie and Fermin and how much they enjoyed their talk and sharing the weekend with them. We've kept in touch and we often get them to give a Zoom update on what's happening over in Spain, because although we are a Camino group in the Blue Mountains, we are really still supporting what's happening in the Camino in Spain. So we feel there's a really close link between us and Casa Susie. And we were very fortunate to be able to do some fundraising for them as well through the five-day walk. So we're happy that we're able to contribute towards their roof repairs.
Yeah, no, it's a big job. I hope, as I say, to do some fundraising this weekend, which would be lovely. So you've put together all this network of walking paths in the Blue Mountains, as I said, 2 hours out of sight. Just so my listeners understand what we're talking about, how do you describe where you live?
The Blue Mountains. So the Blue Mountains really is part of the Great Dividing Range, which traverses the entire continent on the east side. And traveling westward from Sydney, you have to cross this dividing range. And the very high point is Blackheath. So it's about 1,055 metres. And so that's why we have our training walking uphill from Penrith, which is, I think, 8 metres above sea level.
Right.
So it's a good training walk. And we did it that way rather than downhill, so that we could end where we have our monthly meetings on a Saturday. But it's a mix of lots of deep valleys and walking along the plateau, and obviously the route follows by and large the Western Highway and the railway line, and there's a succession of about 12 or 15 villages. So it's just like walking across Spain, village to village, and we have the advantage of places to stay, and if you get injured, you can catch the train back to the start point or the end. So it's really suitable for doing this walk over the Australian mountains.
Would you consider it a difficult walk?
Most of the walkers have said that it is more difficult than what they've done in Spain, because it's 5 continuous days of gaining altitude, right from 8 metres above altitude to 1,055. It's fairly significant. And also our mountains trails can be fairly rugged and technical. And if you're carrying a pack, that makes it quite challenging. So what we offered this year, instead of carrying a pack and staying at a different accommodation every night, we opened up Glenella as an albergue, and so the pilgrims could stay and take the train to the start each day, and all they needed to carry was a day pack. And overall, really enjoyed that, because carrying the full pack didn't seem necessary. So that meant they could enjoy the trails far more.
And Rowan, you were saying earlier that it's great too, because going back to Glenella as a group each night, you get that much more collegiate feel.
Yeah, it actually definitely recreates that feeling staying in albergue with your Camino family.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
with us, it's about 20 people. And so there's this huge opportunity to all cook together and tell stories and laugh and a bit of vino tinto and all those things. It's just like in an albergue, and that it's just really great to see.
How do you, Margaret, I'll go to you, how do you explain the Camino to people who ask about it, these people who haven't walked the Camino? How do you explain it?
So it's a journey by foot that opens the heart and soul. I think it's very difficult to replicate the personal journey that one takes without the physical being part of it, and the combination of the rhythmic walking every day using your own physical stamina and reaching your goal every day tired but rewarded is something quite special I think it's very hard to replicate anywhere else. And walking with like-minded people who are on a similar journey to you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I saw on your Facebook page Paula, who wrote, Katooba to Blackheath, 17 kilometres, incredible journey covering vast bushland of the magnificent Blue Mountains. We walked under the changing climate of the mountains, covered four seasons in 5 days. We walked in hot summer, warm and fragrant spring, windy autumn and winter chills with hail, rain, and you wouldn't believe it, snow. I'm forever grateful for the unforgettable experience. So couple that kind of experience of the wild and unpredictable nature, which is quite extraordinary in the Blue Mountains, with this sort of spiritual awakening as well. You've got quite the combination, haven't you?
It's everything shrunk down into 5 days that you'd find in 65 in Spain.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm overblowing that a bit, but really it's a good diversity of experience and great people coming together. You know, it's all about the people.
And is Paula's comment there, you know, incredible journey, is that generally what the participants say? I mean, does anybody say, oh my gosh, it was just so hard, it was just so difficult? I mean, I'm not necessarily suggesting that you're going to tell me, Dan, everybody says it's terrible, but do some people struggle?
Yes, the first day is a physical struggle. It's 24 kilometres, and there is an option to take the train, an earlier train, back home, which about 10 to 15% of the walkers do. But we don't see that as a failure, that they've pushed themselves to that point. Everybody has a different starting point, fitness-wise, when they start the 5 days, and we encourage them just to walk as far as they can on that first day. And sometimes after 3 days they've gone, you know what, my body needs a rest, and that's fine. There's no rule book here. There's no prerequisite to complete every day. Everybody's encouraged to just do what they can. I led day three, which is also known as the Three Gorges, Three Gullies Day, and I do encourage them to walk all three gullies because it is really special. Even though it is a bit of a tough day, those that get through that feel a shift within themselves of going through amazing bush, huge big trees, waterfalls, streams, lyrebirds. It really is a special experience. So occasionally I do nudge them a little more than maybe what they plan to do at the start of the day, but it's been fantastic feedback that we've received. We had 30 walkers fill out a feedback form, and of them, all 30 said they would recommend it and they would do it again.
Oh, well, there you go. Even though for some people it might have found it difficult, that's still the coming back for the challenge. I just want to, before we finish up on Glenella, you might, Rowan, just tell us some of the other things you do up there. Give the business a plug, because I understand there's some quilting goes on as well. I love quilting.
So it's a heritage-listed guest house in New South Wales. Was originally built in 1905, so it's really got a nice character, sort of the Australian Federation style building. And what we've done is we've sort of opened up and started attracting groups to come in and do workshops and yoga retreats and various sort of group activities, including our Camino activities, of course. And so we've been promoting it to that, and they really love it because it's quite well located in this historical village called Blackheath. There's something there for everybody, and we've got 14 rooms. That's enough for like small corporate groups and quilting workshops, as you mentioned. Families coming up like for 70 years birthday parties or 80, bring people together. Works really well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, and indeed Glenella's a beautiful place within a beautiful part of the world. There's no question about that. Let's go back to the Camino. Margaret, what is it about the Camino, do you think, that keeps us connected? I was playing a show in Sydney last Friday. My friend Claudette Clausen came to see me, and I always love running into Claudette. It's like part of the Camino, the essence of the Camino kind of engulfs us both. We were buzzing on Friday night. Why do you think people are attracted to it? And what keeps us connected, do you think?
I think it's a it's an opportunity to be more true to yourself, to be authentic, and to allow others to be authentic. It's an opportunity to unlayer yourself from society's mantle, and it's a place where you respect others regardless of their views or their background, their heritage. We got a really touching feedback from Lee Lim, who participated in an October 5-day walk, and he was just so amazed that he's of Asian descent that he was accepted just like everybody else, and that for him was so special of that week. And I think that represents the Camino. We welcome everybody. It doesn't matter where they're from. And it's a time to reflect on life and lose some of those material obsessions that we have and society's expectations, where we can just talk what's really real for us and share some of our personal journeys, because people listen. And that's what's one gains along the walk. The listening is really quite special, and it goes both ways. We listen to others and they listen to us, and I think that's a gift. That's really a gift of the Camino.
It's funny, isn't it? I walked a couple of days with my old friend Lee, and he's just turned 60, so you know, here's this 50-year-old. I was 50 and he's in his late 50s. And we were having this very deep spiritual conversation. Not the sort of thing that would happen at the pub on a Saturday afternoon. And yet, here we were at the end of the night, you know, with arm around each other, you know, patting one another on the back and hugging, because we'd managed to share such a beautiful moment together. It's not, like I say, blokes like us aren't supposed to talk like that.
It's a magical. Yeah. You know, you sort of feel released. You can actually get those connections that everywhere else you wouldn't.
So let me ask you, Rowan, do you think it's for everyone?
Clearly not. But I think part of almost our obligation is try to show people that if they give it a chance, there's opportunity for self-growth, for learning more about themselves and more about others. And the Camino, Margaret used the word gift. It really is a gift. And if people adopt the right mindset and give it a chance, I think it's there for the taking. And so, you know, Margaret also used the word enabling. That's really what we're about. We're trying to enable more and more people to observe, to participate, and be a part of that Camino phenomenon.
You do the training or experience weekends. What's the one question you get asked more than any other, do you think?
How do I prevent blisters on the Camino?
Well, how do I prevent blisters on the Camino?
Come on our Blue Mountains Camino supporters training walks. We organise walks once a month, and that's the perfect time to try out your shoes, try out your socks, talk to others about their different blister prevention techniques, and even on the 5-day we had quite a number of people with blisters, and just to share that experience with others and hear what some of the solutions are. I think that's actually the key thing that people are concerned about, because a blister can ruin your whole Camino, and the wrong shoes can. So that's the most important topic we find we need to talk about.
The best advice I ever got in relation to blisters was stop.
Yeah.
As soon as you feel it, anything, a hot spot, stop.
I was going to say the thing that's asked most is, are we nearly there yet?
That's funny. Hey, Sue, what gives a tip? What's something you can share with us? Something you tell you participants in the 5-day training course, what's something you say, you must do this?
You must get together at the end of the day at the designated place, like the pub or the house or something like that, and share your experience to sort of get the most out of it. Because a lot of it is like sharing and caring and reliving.
Yeah.
You know, the Camino it's got legs. It endures.
Yeah. Sharing and caring is so great.
And as so many times on this podcast, people have said they stopped to help somebody in the street. Whereas, you know, here we are in the middle of Sydney, bustling city. You wouldn't walk. Well, I perhaps might stop and help somebody if they fell over in the street, but a lot of people wouldn't. Mm. Whereas on the Camino, everybody reaches out, don't they? It's really magic. A question I often get asked is, do I have to be super fit to do the Camino?
No, I don't believe you need to be super fit. You just need to have the right shoes. And if you can walk 5Ks comfortably, then and you have good shoes, you can make it. You just have to pace yourself according to your strength. Don't go and rush and do 20Ks the first day. Just really pace yourself. You don't have to be super fit. I think that the key thing is to know your body's limitations and to work with that and to put the ego aside for a while and what all the other pilgrims are doing and just say, I'm going to walk this for myself. I think that's actually the hardest thing to do when you get started out, because you get over-enthusiastic about what you want to achieve. And that's why they say the Camino is in three parts. The first part is the body. So you have to get your body used to the physical nature of the walking, and the second part is the heart getting things through. Oh, I mixed that up, didn't I? Mind. The second part is the mind. Yes, getting rid of all that stuff that's cluttering up your mind, and then the third part is the heart, just opening up your heart, and that's when you start seeing things around you, other pilgrims, and that's really where the experience becomes quite special.
It's funny, I'm reminded of Bill Bennett's book, The Way, My Way, and he promised his wife, Jen, that he would stop at Orison, and he arrived with a sore knee. And Jen said, now you take it easy, promise me you'll take it easy, and only walk that first 8Ks because your knee is bad, and of course, ego. Bill won't mind me saying, by the time he got to the top of the Pyrenees, his knee had exploded, and his wife, he ran to ring his wife that night, you know, and he's like holding the phone out here, because his ego, and he'll tell you straight out, his ego got the better of him, and it nearly ruined his Camino. He was, it nearly finished him, but that's just crazy stuff. I mean, just do it in your own pace, in your own time. It's not a race, is it? Rowan, should I plot my path? Should I be a spreadsheet pilgrim?
Absolutely not. To me, that's like the worst approach. Because part of doing the Camino is experience this freedom, this release. And if you're tied to the spreadsheet and this program and thing, it just leads you down the wrong path, I think. I don't agree with that at all.
I always remember in France, they said to us, you have to ring ahead and book. And I said, oh, I don't want to do that. And he said, oh, no, you must ring ahead. You don't want a cranky French woman cooking your dinner. So we did in France, but we didn't worry about it so much in Spain.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming, or has become in the past, a problem, so maybe you do have to, but I think you can somehow work around it, yeah. But I'm of that school where you don't plan anything.
Yeah, I think at the moment you have to, unfortunately. Margaret, tell us about the Blue Mountains Camino supporters.
When Ron and I took over Glenella, we happened to meet Tony Jacques, who had recently returned from walking a Camino, and after a few conversations and a few meetups with other interested pilgrims, we formed the Blue Mountains Camino Supporters Group. And so this was back in 2015, and so it's been going 5 years, and we have got over 400 people on our newsletter mailing list, and we meet once a month, the last Saturday of the month, for a walk in the morning and then a meetup in the afternoon. We also have other events organized during the year, depending on COVID, like movies, BYO, tapas dinners. We have an awesome admin organizing team. Colleen, Cherise, Ron, and I work really well together, and I must give Cherise and Colleen the credit for coming out with the most amazing newsletter every month, and for managing the Facebook site. They are both very engaged, very enthusiastic. And so we actually have quite a number of active participants.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to talk at one of the supporters events at the RSL Club at Blackheath with Tony. Tony was my host, and he, of course, is featured in two podcasts. The most recent was part of the Accessible Camino event, which was magic. I spoke to him when he was at the airport at Santiago. He was tearing up on the phone. Rowan, the Camino has touched your lives and perhaps in some way provided guidance. Why do you think you and Margaret wanted a simpler life?
Well, I think right at the beginning of this interview, you mentioned midlife crisis. Well, I guess one can't run away from the fact that I guess you reach a certain stage and you're looking for more and maybe more depth. And I guess the Camino sort of came around at the time where it could offer something like that within a great community. So I guess it sort of drew us along that pathway. So why did we do that? Yeah. I just changed in midlife. Mm.
And I'm certain you're delighted.
I am, yes. Cause, yeah, I mean, everybody is different. And I guess I'm obviously a little bit of an introvert, and this community of Camino people is very welcoming and warm and actually has drawn me out in many ways. So I'm thankful for that. And I think there's room for many other people like myself to come in and be accepted. I think Margaret used the word acceptance as well. It's very accepting.
Yeah. And I think also there's a great energy amongst pilgrims, and I find it, for me, it's, I get energized by that community. And I'm talking not only just about a spiritual energy, I'm talking about a physical energy as well. When you get together with a group of pilgrims and you go for a walk, you think, I can do this. This is great. I'm part of a team. We're all together and away we go. It's great.
We found that our Saturday walks that we run from Blackheath, we used to walk an easy 10 kilometres. It's not enough anymore. We are now finding we have to do more challenging walks. We're walking 14 next 2 weeks' time. We're walking 16 kilometres. And the energy is there. People come back because they want that energy, and it enables you to go further and further each time. We also find that coming together as a group, the energy feeds itself, and people want to hear and know more. So we try and show some Camino movies, the Camino Voyage. We showed to the group last month, which was lovely. We've had John Briley speak to our group, the last five-day walk. Casa Susi zooms in as well. So we try and engage with the Camino so that energy stays yeah. within the group too.
Do you see the Camino being part of your lives for your entire lives?
I believe that pilgrimage will be part of our lives, whether it's the Camino in Spain or some other walk somewhere in the world. I can't be sure. Things in Europe are looking quite stressed at the moment, and I don't think the Camino will be a place that we'll likely walk or cycle for a while. But I think pilgrimages will certainly be part of my life. I think that time out is so important. And after I walked in Italy last year, I came back thinking my faith is restored in humanity. When one just looks at the news and social media, you get absorbed in all those things in life that can bring you down, and you have this overriding lack of trust in people. But when you walk, whichever country you walk in, you actually meet people, real people, and it restores faith in humanity. So for me, it's a really important thing to continue doing, to connect with people on a person-to-person level, and realize that in essence, we're all really, most of us are really good people, and we all want to look out for each other. But there's a fear to do so. But when you're walking, that fear is removed.
Yeah, I think, isn't it about discovery? Yeah, whether it's landscape or landscape of the heart, or whether it's a searching of the soul or the mind or whatever. It's about discovery, really, isn't it?
I like the word life pilgrimage. You know, it's discovering life, I guess, through pilgrimage.
Yeah, I really like that.
The 5-day Camino training walk will be held again next year, March and September. And I'll just let you know a few things that'll be in your goodie bag if you come and join us. You get a credential, and we have stamps, so you will take home some souvenir of your walk. We also provide a shell on a cord, which you can hang on your backpack. We give you a reflections readings, something that you can read every day. Then, of course, the most important thing is your maps. You'll get 5 maps, a detailed map for each day with notes, elevation gain, where toilet stops are, where the cafes are. So you don't actually need to walk with the group. You can walk on your own. And we do encourage people to walk their own pace. And at the end of each day, we have identified a gathering point. And that's also provided in your info pack where we meet up. So we say there's a 3-hour window where you can meet at the pub or at the cafe. And that's where you'll meet up with everybody at the end of the day, walk again. So all that information is provided. And all we ask for is a donation of $25.
Right. And so this journey, as it were, you hope one day will become part of a longer journey, but just let's focus on the Blue Mountains for the time being. You were telling me, Rowan, earlier, you would quite like to have it marked in your own way eventually.
Well, actually, we've spent a few years fine-tuning the actual route and the sort of the practical parts of doing it, but now we got to the point where we actually want to add depth. So the next phase in this evolution is to market, that's a bit practical, but we also want to add sort of cultural aspects to it and perhaps deviate to appreciate and recognize some of the Aboriginal culture and then the early, because it was a trade route and meeting point, and there's sacred sites along the way which we want to incorporate. And then obviously there's the early European culture that was introduced. There's one of the early pioneering routes through onto the interior, Cox's Road, and we walk along that for quite a lot of the way. And then obviously there's other things of that have been developed, like churches and graveyard gravestones and things like that, that we're going to introduce just to add depth to it and more purpose, because really a Camino is also walking with purpose, and that's really our intention. It's not just a bushwalk.
No, and I mentioned earlier that it's very important that we acknowledge and respect the Indigenous. I mean, people have walked that land for tens of thousands of years, and the back of the credential is the acknowledgement of country and paying respects to the peoples whose land it is that we are all walking on, which I think is fabulous, actually. I think it's really fantastic. One last question, Margaret. Times are tough. Travel's more difficult now. You're both really citizens of the globe. How does a couple of world travellers cope with being locked up in Australia? I mean, really, it's going to be could be a little while before you and I, the three of us, are back in Spain or anywhere else for that matter.
I think it's a time to explore our own backyards and to see what Australia has to offer. And to see it through the eyes of a tourist rather than seeing things as you normally would see them. Actually look out. Look for those shells that are at the St. James Station. Stop at the churches. Look at the architecture. Look for signs of history. Pretend that you're actually a tourist in your own country. I think that's what we will need to do. For annual, see things that we never saw before. Ron and I are very fortunate. We live in Blackheath, and so we've got amazing natural beauty around us that we can access. And I think that is going to become more important to people. They'll need that escape from their locked up homes and city life. And so we encourage people to come up to the Blue Mountains and come and explore and see what it has to offer.
Well, I think the Camino, I love the fact that it can bring the three of us together in this little cafe in the middle of Sydney. It's been pretty noisy, but I'm certain it'll be fine. We mentioned, or you mentioned this now, Margaret, walking past St. James Station on our way here. The Shell is never far from us, only a couple of hundred metres away, the Cathedral of St. James, and alongside the cathedral is a pilgrim, a statue, a small sculpture of a pilgrim asleep by the side of the cathedral, and I've been there many times. In fact, that's the church where I had the first stamp on my guitar, was in the portico of the church before I went off on my Camino in 2018. So it's very special to me. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for what you do for the Camino community in the Blue Mountains and indeed further afield. Buen Camino.
Good Camino, and we hope we'll see you on the Blue Mountains Camino Trail one day.
I'll be there.
Buen Camino, Dan. Thank you.
So just before we finish this week, I wanted to quickly touch base with Lee Lim, who was one of the pilgrims who spent 5 days with Margaret and Rowan last September. Let's hear what he has to say about the five-day getaway.
It was great. I've got a background where I've gone to the walkover in Spain as well. So that was more like a 35-day affair. Just being able to do it here as well. One thing is just like there's the obvious 5-day sort of walking experience and all that, but there's also a special kind of camaraderie that you find in the Spanish walk that Margaret and Rowan have done their best to create a replication of that. It was hard to sort of find that in this environment in Sydney. And so, yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised that they've been working on this so hard. And I think they've done a great job. All the people have that sort of similar openness and warmth. As for the walk itself, it's reasonably challenging. Certainly by day four, I was pretty knackered, almost spiritually exhausted, you could say. Which kind of had, similar lows that I had on the Camino as well. I won't say it's like, depressed or anything like that. It was just like, when you've just been really tired for a few days and had a chance to recover and you just sort of get into a bit of a mood at times. So that's part of the experience too. So, well worth it. And of course, they included all this sort of wonderful, Blue Mountains, unique to the locality, just taking us through guiding us through, or letting us self-guide through the nature there. A lot of hidden sort of places that I would not have been able to see myself. And it was just great to sort of be able to bash around the place and not really know where I was going and just get to where I needed to get to arrive at basically an alberg style. And the alberg itself as well, what they've set up there, they try to, develop and create an experience that we have sometimes in some of the more special places that we stay at in the Camino, facilitating, discussions and that sort of thing. Yeah. So.
And here's Juliet Clark, who is a fellow pilgrim not far from here in Sydney. She's up in Newcastle, about 2.5 hours from here. Here's what she had to say about her experience.
Oh, it was quite remarkable because it was the beginning of spring and we started off walking in 26 degrees from Penrith and it was like a summer's day. And then as we increasingly moved towards the mountains in Blackheath over the 5 days, it got colder and colder. And on the last day we woke, the night before, it started to snow. And so on the last day, there was snow when we got into Katoomba, got off the train, and we walked down to the cliff drive and here was this beautiful snow coming down, just drifting. It didn't last on the ground, but it was, my goodness me, fancy having in 5 days all these seasons and, walking through the mountains up and down the valleys in places where you knew there were Aboriginal footprints because it just had the most surreal feeling. It was quite magical, and all the bush flowers were out. And despite the fact that it was about minus 3, 4, something like that, and the wind was blowing horizontal. It was just gorgeous. And you thought, aren't I so lucky to be here? Because it's not something you'd ever do yourself. You know, we had lots of friends and terrific guides. The organisation was fabulous. It was quite a magical experience. Yeah, I'd definitely do it again.
My guests this week, Rowan and Margaret Boutel. You can find them via glenella.com.au. That's glenella.com.au. Friendship, hey? Remember, Susie and Furamin from CASA Susie, we're chipping in from around the world to help them save the CASA, and I'll be doing a live gig on Facebook Live this weekend. It'll be 9:30 a.m. Sunday the 22nd of November, that's Sydney time, my time, so that's 9:30 a.m. on Sunday in Sydney. I think that makes it 11:30 p.m. Saturday in Trabadello and the rest of Spain, 2:30 p.m. Saturday Los Angeles time, 5:30 p.m. Saturday Washington and New York, and 5:30 p.m. in Denver. So Saturday afternoon in the United States, Saturday night in Europe and the UK, and Sunday morning in Australia. I'll have the means to donate to Susie and Furamin as part of the concert. Friendships, eh? There's an old proverb, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. Pilgrims are forever refreshing their souls, and that's a blessing worth sharing. Until next week, I'm Dan Mullins. Buen camino. Someone